Mic check. Yep, I'm working. Go ahead and give me a line check real quick.
Good afternoon, Russell. It's Tiffany Bruton from Cox Communications. How are you today?
That is perfect. Thank you so much. And Tiffany, what is your title? Like Director of Communications, Vice President?
Director of Public Affairs.
Director of Public Affairs. Okay. For for Cox, the cable company, what all do you guys do? It seems because, okay, this is a little complicated, but we used to be sort of all in the same company, and now we're not, but we're still called Cox, but we're not owned by the Cox anymore, the radio stations. So I've kind of lost track of what you guys are doing, but obviously internet and cable television is sort of the core, right?
Internet is the core. Cable television, of course, is what we've always been known for, and it's what we still do, but we've really become a broadband company. We still offer Lifeline phone services, and of course, if you need any of the things I've just mentioned in your business, including security, we're able to provide those as well.
So I will tell you, full disclosure, before I worked at the radio station, I heard that, you know, broadband was coming from Cox, and I was like calling the company going, can I get it? And it's been the best internet service ever. And I can say that now because we're no longer sister companies and I'm not endorsing you. I'm just saying I love the service. So, and I will say that during this pandemic, when there had to have been a massive uptick in bandwidth usage from people working at home, and I mean, I just, it's hard to even imagine. I would imagine some of it was alleviated by businesses not being online, but can you talk a little bit about, you know, was it a strain on the system? Did the internet ever, I don't know, kind of crack under the load at all?
It's a great question. And to be honest with you, I think it's a question that none of us knew how to answer before this started. We know that we have a state-of-the-art network. We know the company's invested hundreds of millions of dollars in creating the fastest, most reliable network. But until everybody shifts, what's going to happen? And I'm very proud and pleased to tell you that we have not experienced any type of capacity or speed issues. You know, the trend has looked much like the weekend usage looks, only now we just see it all day long. So it's really just shifted when people are using their services and the consistency at which they're using them. But we've had great luck so far. And, you know, to your point, the community at large is relying on their broadband connection now to conduct school, to conduct business, to conduct talking with friends and even neighbors across the street at this point. So we're using it more than ever. So, you know, maybe even more than was the network strained. The network hasn't been strained. It's performed exactly like we wanted it to. What's been challenging is getting everyone connected as quickly as they needed to be for those who weren't.
And that's too many people that in this country that don't have broadband internet access. So you guys started a program to try to help by offering a low cost solution, and that kicked off, I want to say, in March, was it?
It did. So going back a little bit, back in 2012, we launched a program to try and bring families who are in that low income environment, families that participate in free lunch at school, SNAP or TANF, you know, government-assisted food programs, how do we provide a product for them to get them connected to the internet? So when they go to school, they are playing on the same level field that their classmate next to them, who maybe their parents are able to earn a little bit more, have when they go home. Connect to Compete was born back then. We've seen, you know, a fair number of families take advantage of the offer over that 8 years that we've been offering it. But when Corona happened in March, suddenly internet is a necessity more than ever. And so we knew we were going to have to be creative in how we could get all of those students connected. So back in March, we launched a response program to Corona. And what we did was we started offering Connect to Compete So it's $9.95 a month for families that have a kiddo at home, a student, if you will. If you participate in any of those government assistance programs, SNAP or TANF, free lunch that I mentioned previously, or if you live in government assisted housing, then you're eligible for this program. You don't have to pay for equipment. You don't have to pay for the installation. All you pay is the $9.95 a month. But what we did to kind of get people online even more quickly and provide that funding gap that we knew was going to exist is we started offering it for free. For originally it was 30 days, then it was 60 days. And then we made an extension a few weeks ago to make it free until July. So anyone who signs up, and we actually have a deadline coming up, if you sign up by May 15th, you get to keep the product for free until July. And then you receive all of that equipment, your modem, desktop support if you need it. There's also some opportunities to get a low-cost computer if you need it. And then after that, it goes back to that $9.95 rate for families. So it's still very affordable, but we're hoping this gets people through that time frame where they really need it the most.
Okay. And just so I'm clear, is it through the end of June or through the end of July that it's free?
It's free until July 15th.
Okay, there we go. So mid-July. So basically,
you sign up for Connect to Compete before Friday, then you'll receive it for free until mid-July.
Got it. So you'll get 2 months. You'll get from the 15th of this month to the 15th of June, and then from the 15th of June to the 15th of July. That's 2 free months, essentially.
Exactly. And for those that already signed up, so we've been offering it for free since March. So there are hundreds of families who have been able to take advantage of this and will get 4 full free months out of it. It got them through the school year, which is really what we were hoping to accomplish.
So that brings up a tough question, Tiffany. And I'm willing to wager you don't have an answer yet, but I'll go ahead and ask it. We heard Dr. Fauci literally within the last 20 minutes talking about the school year coming up and whether or not schools will be ready to reopen. And there's a lot of concern that if there's not a vaccine, and there's a lot of ifs here. But, are you guys looking at that possibility in the future? Are you eyeballing that? Because it could end up being another school year where kids are doing distance learning still.
It is a great question to ask, and we are certainly thinking about it. We don't have an answer to it because we're really just waiting to see what happens with the school districts, what happens with vaccines. But what we know is that school districts are planning for a school year that starts virtually, have to have that plan in place at this point. What we also know is there is a significant level of federal funding that is trickling down to education to help solve the problem of connectivity. There were a lot of districts that had kind of a blended learning model. So not all districts relied solely upon virtual learning. And so we know if we go into a new school year that virtual is going to have to be a much greater part of that. So I know locally in Tulsa, the city, the mayor's office has formed a task force that is looking at how do we bring greater connectivity to our city to make sure now in the new school year and beyond that everyone who needs a connection will have a connection, whether that's in your house or at a community center or somewhere near your home where you can get online. So while we don't have a specific plan that we're ready to put into place, we know and we are working alongside our educational partners and our partners at the cities to develop what that plan is going to look like if we need it, because it's looking like we might need it.
And we know from very recent history that Cox can be pretty nimble and can put together, something on the fly and get it rolled out fairly quickly.
I think if we were all to take a step back to 6 months ago and ask ourselves, would we be able to do all of the things that we've done in the time frame that we did them? over the last 6 to 8 weeks, we all would have looked at each other and smiled and said, gosh, I can't imagine having to do that. What our company has been able to do is purely in response to how agile the community has had to be. And so I tell people all the time, I don't know that if we'd had a lot more time that we would have done everything the way we've done it. But what we have been able to roll out in the very expeditious way that we have rolled it out has been phenomenal. And we've been very pleased with the number of students we've been able to connect and the number of families we've been able to get online in the way that we're doing it. Because, you know, I should also mention we're not crossing the threshold of customers' homes right now for the safety of the customer and for the safety of our technicians. And so, you know, we are conducting our business virtually. So a technician will show up at your door and he can talk to you from the curb, or you can set up and respond to a virtual interaction with that technician. And then you become the installer. So, you know, we've not just had to change offers and pricing. We've had to change the complete model of how we do business. But it's, you know, purely in response to keeping everyone safe and healthy.
It's really incredible how businesses have found ways to adapt. And I will say, you know, I'm an old guy. I have very clear memories of life before the internet. I have mm-hmm. very clear memories of waiting on a, you know, 9600 baud modem or slower to connect to the internet so I could spend 5 minutes downloading a web page. And so I'm sitting there in my living room streaming, you know, a movie, watching something, a YouTube clip or reading a book on my phone. My wife's on her phone sending messages on social media. We're doing all this stuff, and it's just, it's like the air. We've come to sort of take it for granted. And it didn't happen without a lot of hard work, and it doesn't continue happening without people really dedicated to continuing to grow the infrastructure, create more capacity, improve speeds, improve connectivity. And, you know, in our community, that's Cox. So, you know, thanks. Because I can't imagine what it would have been like if we didn't have those resources, if we didn't have those ways to communicate and, like you said, do business virtually, right? How would how would we have gotten through this?
It's funny to think about what we would be doing without the internet right now and the packets of papers that we would be driving to schools to pick up and how many businesses would have had to simply close their doors and stop. So we're incredibly proud to be able to provide a network and a service that is allowing the community to continue to thrive as much as it can. You know, we have construction and engineering crews while all this is going on. We had a planned network transformation on our roadmap. And so that is taking place right now. And we realize now more than ever how important those types of events are to keep the network healthy and to make sure that when you have a neighborhood of 500 homes, that every one of those homes is receiving the speed that they need to be able to exist. Because you're right, there's, you know, four people in a home and every one of them is on a device streaming something. So the world has changed. I have two young children, and just listening to the ways that they've been able to complete their homework and their lessons, and whether they're on the internet or they're asking Google or they're finding creative ways to learn. It is broadband that has made that happen. So I appreciate very much that you understand that. I don't know that everyone does in that way, because I feel like we've adapted and we take it for granted a bit. So
it's almost. Oh, you're so welcome. It's almost become a utility. it's like, if, you know, when I flip a light switch, I just expect it to be there. And when I turn my TV on, I just expect my Wi-Fi to be there, you know, when it's not. And I'll add one more thing for those who are begrudgingly learning how to become their own installers. That is good knowledge to have. To be able to know, I'm dead serious, to know what your modem is and what it does, as opposed to your router. Or do you have a combined unit that's a modem and a router? And how do you configure security on that so that it protects your data? I mean, people need to know that stuff. So I don't think it's a bad thing. That's my two cents, Tiffany.
Well, I appreciate it. It's uncomfortable for some people. I made a move during all of this. And so I had to install all of my own services in my house. And I am not a technician. I've worked for the cable company for a very long time, but not a technician. And it was, it's easy. It's a lot easier than you think it is, especially when you have the help that we're able to provide. But you're right. It gives you a new appreciation for how it works and how best to put those pieces of equipment in your home to really maximize the experience. So
source, receiver,
we'll all be smarter techs after this,
right? Source, receiver, and signal path. Those are the keys. And I'll tell you a quick story, just because I got you on the phone. When the digital transformation happened for television, I worked at a local TV station, and I was assigned to be the person who took the calls from the public on how to get their TVs working. And I spent the better part of a year, and actually made two or three, I forget, but at least two, home visits to elderly women, as it turned out. You know, could have been guys, but it was elderly women who just could not figure out, you know, the converter box. Remember those things? And I learned some interesting lessons then that have really come in handy right now, which is, like you said, some people are not comfortable. Things scare them, change bothers them. They feel uncomfortable. You just got to be patient. Patience.
You know, we've gotten pretty creative in this time frame. I've heard stories. If you're working on a house that's never been wired for cable and they need cable to receive their broadband services from Cox, but you can't install the outlet, then what do we do? And I have heard some incredibly awesome stories.
So what did they do? How'd they do it?
Technicians. Yeah. Well, working with the customer in the house that says, let's put it, just give me the cable through the window and I'll connect it. And we'll do an appropriate and official outlet when you can come back into our house. So it's really been this great partnership between the customer and the technician and finding ways to get it there. And I've not heard a story yet of not being able to figure out a solution. And when all of this passes and we're able to comfortably come back into the home, which we hope is soon, Even with mask and gloves, we would love to be able to complete every installation precisely and perfectly. But we'll come back around and we'll make sure that everyone is taken care of. But right now, it's a great partnership and an understanding from everyone that these are unprecedented times and we're dealing with measures that we've never had to deal with. So we're grateful and thankful for our partners in the community that have been understanding and are working with us, but more importantly, who are relying on us to make sure that all of the ways that they need to stay connected during this time, that Cox is able to be there and assist them with that.
Have you gotten any kind of timeline on when you think they might be able to do that? Or, because I know here we're waiting until like June 1st to start letting people back in the building.
Yeah, there's constant conversation. I mean, clearly we're planning what the approach looks like when we do start going back into the homes and when we do start going back into the office. I think there are organizations all over the world who have learned we can work remotely And so I think businesses in general will change coming out of this because we now have a better understanding of what workforce we need in a physical facility and then what workforce can be working from wherever they are. So I think the paradigm will change. But I think for us, I mean, we're preparing for the time when we can begin to intern to homes. It's going to be different in every single community based on, you know, declining numbers and what the state and local leaders have defined. Yep. But not ready to say when just yet. But the moment we have the opportunity to do so, believe me, our technicians are ready to go back into the homes and help customers.
Well, Tiffany, you have been so generous with your time, and I took way more of it than I said I was going to. So thank you. And is there anything else that you'd like to chat about before we wrap up?
No, I think that covers it. As this continues to change and evolve, we'll make sure that we're keeping you informed of any plans or programs that are changing. But thanks for the time to talk today and for letting us help get more and more people online and learning or doing business. So thanks, Russell. I appreciate you, as always.